You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Gym Class for a Thursday on KGYM at 3:04. Great to have you with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Here at 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac on the other side of the glass, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com. They're celebrating their 75th anniversary this year. And big thanks to the folks at DuPaco. Help us out each and every day. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to their website at dupaco.com. Lots to get to today. We'll talk a little bit about Iowa football, selected players meeting with the media earlier on today. We'll talk about that. Big day for Lisa Bluter today as well. And we will also talk about the NFL draft. John Cooper going to be joining us from Arlad Scouting Service. We'll talk about the prospects for Iowa and Iowa State, as well as UNI players going into the draft, which will be coming up in a couple of weeks for you. We'll have the draft for you right here on KGYM. Looking forward to it. In fact, 2 weeks from tonight is the draft. Ready or not, as the NFL teams will get together in Kansas City, downtown Kansas City, and have a good old time out there. 319-366-1600. That's the text line available to you. Phone line as well, 319-366-1600, as we make our way through a beautiful Thursday here in Eastern Iowa. We'll get you updated on what's happening on the Major League front as well as elsewhere with the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard for you today on the program. As Mark joins me here in studio and a Bowling Night America wrap-up. Could it be three straight happy wrap-ups? We'll find out. Isaac is all a Twitter.
We shall let you know. Good afternoon, Scott, Isaac, everyone out there. And the draft is really upon us, and I'm looking forward to talking to John, not only about the state of Iowa players, maybe a half a dozen going to get drafted, but also Midwest teams, what's the best fit for my Bears, on and on and on. So, yeah, another glorious weather day out there, and blessed about that, so let's get after it.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad anyway. Well, let's start off Iowa football. Selected players meeting the media earlier on today down in Iowa City. And as you might well expect, by the way, the spring games, I put that in quotation marks, not air quotes, Mark, but just quotation marks. Most folks will have that coming up a week from Saturday, including the spring scrimmage for the Iowa football team. And, tidbits coming out today, not a whole lot, if you will. What did we learn today? We learned that Cooper DeJean still wants to return punts. I think that's a good idea. As well as the fact that the Hawkeyes, you will not recognize their place kicker. Mr. Stevens has put on 15 to 18 pounds of muscle. He wants to improve that range this year. It's good weight that he has put on. It's not poor weight like, you, me, the rest of us put on. Isaac, don't look at me like that. Isaac, I did not include you in that. You're young. But yeah, that's good news back there. And hey, Cooper DeJean wants to return punts. I think that's a capital idea for the Hawkeyes. If you're a fan,
it's a no doubter, no question about it. I also read comments from Quinn Schulte, the Cedar Rapids Xavier product, talking about Xavier Wampa. Said every rep seems to be better and better. I think this guy might have a breakout year.
Yeah, and of course he had a great bowl game. Mm-hmm. Had the pick six for the touchdown against Kentucky. And, I don't think people have forgotten the fact that he was a five-star guy out of Southeast Polk, but you got to remind yourself of that every once in a while. He was young last year, got in special teams, and like we said, at the end of the year, especially in the bowl game, got a lot of playing time. I would tend to agree with Quinn that this guy is maybe on the precipice as far as being, you don't want to throw the word stardom out or anything like that right away, especially at this stage anyway of his career, but I think we're going to see a lot of improvement from Xavier Wampa.
That's a good defensive backfield.
Yes, it is.
Schulte, Wampa, DeGene, Jamari Harris coming back, among others. That's going to be a solid group.
It is, even though Riley Moss will not be there. Riley, of course, we'll talk about him with John Cooper coming up in just a little bit. By the way, as we mentioned, the text line open, phone line open as well at 319-366-1600. If you have somebody you'd like John to talk about, just pass that along to us or your team or whatever the case may be, and we will make sure and pass that along to John when we talk with him coming up in about 20 minutes or so here today. That's the football news out of Iowa City. There is women's basketball news. Not the fact that Caitlin Clark won another national award. I mean, what day of the week is it?
Yeah.
It's, what, Thursday? Yeah, Caitlin won an award. What, the Honda Award today that Caitlin Clark took home. But also, speaking of taking things home, it was a good day for Lisa Bluter today. I mean, just, we knew this was happening after the national championship game, that the incentives will kick in, but we kind of learned some of those incentives now.
Yeah, and that from John Steppe via Open Records request. John filing a story today that includes Lisa Bluter receiving a $310,000 bonus for reaching the championship game. Her base salary increases 15% to a little more than $964,000 starting on July 1. Her total compensation in the $1.6 million range, which still trails people like Dawn Staley, whose base salary is $3 million, Kim Mulkey, whose base salary is $2.5 million.
Probably went up this year too with her appearance in the national championship.
Yeah, that doesn't include the incentives for those two.
Right.
But Lisa probably pretty happy today.
Well, yeah, and I think you got to be happy for her. Seemingly, whenever there is talk about incentives for pay, there's always a little bit of grumbling going on out there. I don't think anybody's going to be grumbling, or they shouldn't be, for any of these incentives kicking in. As much, entertainment, fun, and just interest that this Iowa women's basketball team, held Eastern Iowa and basically the state, and you could say the country as well this past season.
I like the incentive part of the contracts. Everybody's got to have a base salary, but so many people in different walks of life, work on incentives or bonuses or quotas or whatever they may be to boost their salary. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
If you are in the business world, you go out there and you have a terrific month, week, quarter, whatever the case may be, at whatever job you do, you're going to get incentives, right?
We had a good quarter, first quarter, I think. Didn't we?
Sure.
Yeah, I thought so.
Isaac, do you agree? Okay, Isaac says, yeah, we all did. You're a part of the team, man. Mm-hmm. Part of the team. Yeah, so you're going to get an incentive, so why not be happy if Lisa Bluter gets incentives? Seems to be a different prospect than, say, when football coaches get incentives. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying which specific football coach. I'm just saying football coaches in general, right?
Yeah, and this also extends Lisa's contract through 2028. So all good in the Iowa women's basketball camp.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment. Interesting. Speaking of Iowa women's basketball, Jeff Linder tweeted this out to covers the Iowa women's basketball team among his beats at the Gazette. He wrote down and kind of chronicled the, if everyone stays, how the roster would look for the next couple of years. I thought that was very, very interesting. And you and I were talking about this earlier on today, the fact that the COVID year is really bringing it's an interesting dynamic as far as your roster juggling is concerned at this present time, because there are people that were not going to be there for an extra year that you did not count on. Oh, they are going to be there for an extra year. Kate Martin, Gabby Marshall, they're going to be there for an extra year. So, you know, it's a good thing, but it also tends to, you know, okay, we have this in the back of our minds, what we need to do to bring in personnel for the next 4 years. Do you put that on hold, maybe? That's what coaches have to think about now.
I'm so ready for the quote-unquote COVID year to be over. Not because it's COVID, per se, but originally I thought this was an unfair advantage that these athletes were given. Many of them reached almost the postseason before being shut down, and then to be given an extra year. And it's somewhat selfish for me because I can't keep track. I can't keep track of the COVID year. Jack Nungy, the former Iowa player, Xavier, said he's not going to take his COVID year.
No, he is going to go into the professional ranks.
Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm alone out there. I don't know, but I'm ready for it to be over, whenever that may be.
We still got a couple years left for that.
Do we really?
We do. Well, if you were a freshman when that all came around, then you still have your year left out there. If you want it. Now you don't have to take it. Some do, some don't. 319-366-1600. 9843 says Lisa's still underpaid. Pure class. That from 9843. And yeah, everyone's still waiting. 5165 as far as the maybe announcement of someone coming in on the transfer portal for Iowa women's basketball.
Yeah, the question from the texter is, do you think Iowa's going to get a transfer? And I would say, yeah.
I mean, all indications would say yes. But, and, you know, talked about this, if you're a shooter, you're probably not going to come in because you're not going to get your shots. And that's, you know, that's just the way it is. It's nothing against Caitlin Clark or anything like that. Nothing against someone coming in. If you're thinking that way, if it's going to be Betts from Stanford, 6'7 post, that makes a whole lot more sense. But, you know, got to fall in love with the campus. Got to love the coaches. Got to love your teammates, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I suppose if you want to just come in and have a chance to get a ring, sure, that's going to play a part in it as well. But you don't want to come here just to get a ring and be miserable, right?
No, but you have an opportunity to play one, maybe 2 years, with the National Player of the Year and Caitlin Clark. And who wouldn't want to do that? Especially a post with Clark passing the ball as well as she does.
Your numbers are going to go up too.
Yeah.
You would think that. You would think that anyway. 319-366-1600, 318 on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here at KGYM. We'll get you updated on the complete Major League scoreboard coming up here in just a little bit. But dealing with our poll question at KGYMradio.com here today, it's brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement on Highway 1 West in Iowa City. They've been serving customers since 2003. We can tell you it's now... lucky? Unlucky? Are you superstitious, Isaac? No, he says not. I'm not really superstitious as well. If I'm bowling well, playing good golf, Mark, I'm going to keep doing the same thing I'm doing. I will do that, but I don't go out of my way to avoid things. But Tampa won their 13th today. And the poll question is, a little tongue-in-cheek, are the Tampa Bay Rays ever going to lose? Yes or no? Well, they set a modern-day Major League record today, right?
Yeah, I think you have to go back to 87 or into the 80s where a couple teams won 13 to start the season. And, you know, Tampa Bay has not played the strongest of schedules, but now it has beaten Boston, what, three in a row?
Yep.
Boston's not a slouch. So, yeah, they're going to lose. Maybe not anytime soon.
I know that there's a certain team on a certain south side of a certain city that's going to be playing Tampa soon. Isn't that grand? Hey, they can't win them all, right? Oh, man. Continuing Iowa women's basketball, 37-06. Hard to argue with coming in to be coached by Jan Jensen. I would agree, the National Assistant Coach of the Year in women's basketball. And Jan is terrific. Absolutely terrific. As a coach, on the floor, off the floor, et cetera, et cetera. And she, I don't know of any assistant coach in America that's better, has a better resume, and talked about better than Jan Jensen. I agree with you, 37-06. Wholeheartedly.
I'm in that camp as well.
Before we get to an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update for you, which will include an update on the golf at the RBC Heritage at Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, coming up in just a couple of minutes. One NFL tidbit to get to today, and we are going to talk about the draft with John Cooper from Arlad Scouting Service coming up in just a little bit. But news coming out today that the NFL, in a safety move, is going to make have a different helmet for the quarterbacks this coming year. And the new safer helmet is designed to try to alleviate concussions even more for the quarterback position. Love to see it for all positions out there, and maybe it will down the line. Innovations continue to be improved as far as safety, not only for the National Football League, but football in general, whatever level you're playing. But I'm going to start it off with the quarterback position anyway. So many times, Mark, you see a quarterback get hit, go down on his back, head slams into, and it doesn't really matter if it's grass or turf, whatever the case may be, and you get that bounce and boom, concussion. And could happen with anybody, but they're going to try to alleviate that with a safer helmet for the quarterbacks this year.
Any move to make the game safer, I'm all for. And I'm with you. Why not every player?
And I think it's going to happen. I mean, the helmets are so much better now than even, you know, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Even, gosh, 12 years ago. I mean, still remember my son's helmet, your grandson's helmets, right now anyway. Taking a look at those and how much safer they were than... You take a look at one from back in our day, Mark, it's not a good thing.
No.
You look at those back in
the... It's quite different, isn't it?
In the 70s and the 80s, and you go, holy cow. How did this work?
They didn't fit. There wasn't enough padding. Yeah.
Oh, man. But good news there. Anything to make the game safer, get more kids out. That's the way to go, certainly. And speaking of football, hopefully, I know it will be soon, but there are some rumblings out there that maybe even tomorrow we might see some high school football schedules. That's good news. So we'll talk about that if it comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, we know the groups. We know the districts. We just don't know non-conference or non-district, non-group pairing. So we'll see about that, and we'll bring it to you if that does come down tomorrow.
Yeah. 0-8-3-5 for the Rays to do it with mainly prospect talent on their roster and no super player on that team. Truly amazing. I agree. Now, things are going well. We talked about the fact that their schedule wasn't great, but you still have to play the games, right?
You do.
You got to play them. You got to win them. You got to do everything you need to do on the field. And Tampa's done that. Hats off to them. All the credit in the world. And They won't go 162-0, but they're going to be they're off to a really good start.
You know, but Toronto and the Yankees aren't going anywhere. They're only four games back, despite an undefeated start for Tampa Bay. So it's a long season, terrific start. We'll see what goes down. You know, after the Twins sweep the Yankees, maybe that'll cause some separation.
Are you calling your shot?
I can do that because they haven't played yet.
Okay.
Starting tonight, they will.
Baltimore, you can get to the scoreboard coming up here. And we're going to do that right now. Mark's going to join us here with the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at 325. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're across from Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. And they're open at 4 o'clock. Go on out, say hi to Jamie and the entire staff. They're online at emilshideaway.com.
Seven games in Major League Baseball today, two in the afternoon, both have gone final. We talked to you, I told you about Tampa Bay defeating Boston 9-3. Baltimore has taken care of Oakland 8-7. Everything else under the lights. Dan Snyder apparently has reached agreement to sell the Washington Commanders for $6 billion. That's with a B. To a group that is headed up by Josh Harris, who owns the 76ers and the NHL New Jersey Devils, and also includes one Magic Johnson. Iowa baseball will play a doubleheader tomorrow at Minnesota due to the forecast Saturday, which does not look good. So they eliminated the Saturday game and will play two tomorrow. And finally, at the RBC Heritage Classic, basically a home game for Zach Johnson, Brian Harman, and others. Zach shot an opening round 5-under par 66 today. The guys who went out early getting an edge because it's been raining at the tournament this afternoon. Five birdies, no bogeys. He's two back of Victor Hovland.
By the way, I was a week off.
You may have been.
To my texter friend who said that he was also on Brian Harman at the Masters. Brian Harman, 6-under par 65 today, in second place right now at the RBC Heritage for the plucky little left-hander out of the University of Georgia. So I hope that my texter friend just kept riding with Brian Harman.
Let it roll.
So, doesn't mean he's going to win, but he's right up there. I didn't see how Rahm's doing today. Did you?
Early on, he was just one or two under, if that. Kind of shaking the cobwebs after the Masters. Again, play stopped right now. Jordan Spieth at -2. And just scrolling down here to see about Rahm.
I can't find him. Oh, there he is. He's even par through
even
six.
Par. Okay.
Even par. It's got to be tough to come back. I applaud him for even playing, like we talked about yesterday. I think it's great that he's out there. He's the first one in a long time to play the week after they won a major. So now it helps that this is a designated event as well. Now, the schedule is already made. You can miss one of the designated events if you're a top echelon golfer, unless you want to take a $3 million hit like Rory McIlroy did. That has been widely publicized this week in the world of golf. Coming up on 329, we're going to take a break, come back, and John Cooper's going to join us from Arlad Scouting Service. We're going to talk about the NFL draft, the Hawkeye and Cyclone players that are going to hear their names called, maybe a Panther or two in there as well. And if you have a question for John about a certain player, a certain team, what they may do, go ahead and get it to us on the text line at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Back with more of the Gym Class presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union right after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. We'll have plenty of sun and plenty of wind today. That'll boost temperatures into the low 80s. We'll also have red flag warnings in place due to the strong winds and dry conditions, leading to elevated fire danger. Outdoor burning should be avoided. As we head into tonight, partly cloudy and breezy, temperatures in the mid-50s. Tomorrow will be sunny and breezy as well, with temperatures in the upper 70s. Clouds will build in later on in the day. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The boys and girls track and field teams each placed fourth in the Hawken Co-Ed Relays at Prairie High School on Tuesday. Both teams will run in the Bobcat Invitational at Benton High School today. The boys soccer team fell to Iowa City High 3-0 on Tuesday. They'll be back in action at the Varsity Invitational Tournament at Kingston Stadium on Saturday. The girls soccer team also fell to City High on Tuesday 1-0. They'll welcome Cedar Rapids Kennedy to the home turf tomorrow night. The boys and girls tennis teams both remain undefeated this season. Each team got an 8-1 win over Cedar Rapids Kennedy in the Battle of 42nd Street on Tuesday, and the girls golf team took first place in an MVC Triangular at Twin Pines Golf Course on Tuesday.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company, family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Okay, on the grass, but out of the street. Perfect.
Why are you raking your leaves to the curb?
Tomorrow's our garbage day, so the leaf vacuum will be around too.
Leaves just go in your yardie cart, don't they?
You can, but this time of year you can also rake them in a long row on the grass beside the street, and the vacuum truck will pick them all up.
I don't have time to rake right now.
That's okay, they'll be picking up through April 28th on garbage day. You've got time.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from crnewsnow.com.
Oh, I didn't get the message.
Get the message. Go to crnewsnow.com.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2023 Bank of America NA.
Guys, fellas, men, are you Roman ready for the weekend? Right now, generic Viagra, a.k.a. Sildenafil, is just $4 per dose at Roman. Just complete a free online visit with a U.S. licensed healthcare professional. If medication is appropriate, Roman sends what you need in discreet packaging with free two-day shipping. Generic Viagra from $4 at Roman. Go to ro.co/weekend. Do it today and get 20% off your entire first order. That's ro.co/weekend.
3:32, back with you here on the Gym Class, a Thursday edition here on KGYM. Thanks for joining us. Do appreciate it. Todd Brommelkamp show comes your way from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock right after us. And, of course, back at it tomorrow with local programming with Spencer on sports, starting your afternoon at 2 o'clock. Mark and I back at 3 coming up tomorrow. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That is a phone line as well. If you have a question for our next guest, John Cooper from Arlad Scouting Service, kind enough to join us here as we are 2 weeks away from the NFL draft taking place in downtown Kansas City this year. And John, kind enough to join us here. And John, appreciate your time. And hope everything's going well at our lads. And by the way, our best to our friend Dan Shanka as well. If you could pass that along to Dan and Peggy, and always good to talk with you or Dan or whomever. As you guys are, this is your Christmas, man, right?
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, Dan said he wanted me to pass greetings along to everybody at your station.
Awesome. And well, first question for me. This has happened several weeks ago, and with a Chicago Bears fan in our studio, across the way from me. Good or bad that the Chicago Bears, mainly people thinking it's a good move. What about you guys on the trade?
No, 100%. I think it's a great move. The Bears, not only did they get a quality receiver and more, but they also, they've got a couple of nice draft picks. That will, another pick in the second round that is going to, help them bolster this team, which has a lot of needs.
Yeah, John, what should the Bears do at 9? There's a need for a tackle, Skoronski, Paris Johnson maybe. Bijan Robinson's going to be out there. Which way should the Bears go?
Well, in the analyzing the Bears, what we see is they're a team that has a lot of needs, especially on defense. I mean, they've upgraded their defense quite a bit. They've got a linebacker core now that is as good as anybody's, but they still have a strong need on the defensive line. The corners did not play well last year, but part of that was their defensive line play was very poor as far as the pass rush is concerned. They should get a little bit better in the secondary, but they certainly could use a corner. But we see defensive line as the biggest need. They've got a need for a three technique. They've got a need for an edge rusher. They picked up a couple of nice rotational players in free agency. But that's just what they are. They're rotational guys, and they're not necessarily guys that are going to play every down. And that's okay because you need to have those guys on your team. And obviously the offensive line is an issue, but they've picked up a starting guard, Bates, and this guy can play. He's flat out a really good player. So from that perspective, they're okay. They can move Tevin Jenkins out to right tackle. That doesn't mean that they wouldn't take the tackle because the need is still there. They still have to get some offensive linemen. But we like the edge. As if there's the right guys there, and obviously if Jalen Carter is a three technique, if somehow he falls down, that would be a good pick. If in their building they feel that this is okay, the issues that have come up with him, they can deal with those, he would be a great pick because he's a solid football player on film. But the guy that we think might be there, and if I'm playing GM with the Bears, it would be Miles Murphy. And he's the edge rusher from Clemson. We think he might be there. Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech is another guy that could be there. And either one of those two guys would be a nice fit in that Bears defensive line.
Another guy in there, maybe not for the Bears, but Lucas Van Ness from Iowa, never started a game for the Hawkeyes. But a lot of folks have him in the top 10. Your thoughts on him?
Well, we like him a lot. In fact, we think he'd be a good fit for the Bears. We have him a little bit later in the first round. We think somewhere around 20, but yet somebody may really like him. I mean, he fits what the NFL is looking for, a guy that can play in a solid rotation. And he's a guy that can go inside or outside. You can move him around, and he's a very good player. That's basically what he did in Iowa. Even though he wasn't a starter, he played a lot, and he was very effective. He can come off the edge. He's got some power. He can play a three technique as a pass rusher. We like him a lot. And we think after those first four edge rushers, figuring Nolan Smith being the fourth guy who might not be a fit for a lot of teams, but Van Ness would definitely be a fit with the Bears.
John, questions coming in about the Hawkeyes. You talked about Van Ness a little bit. How about there's a question here on the text line about Sam Laporta in a deep tight end class this year. Is Sam going to be, in your opinion, a first-round guy? And then talk about Jack Campbell, the All-American linebacker for the Hawkeyes and where he might go.
We like Laporta a lot. He's a little bit undersized for what you're looking for in tight end. And in a good class like this, we've got him in the second round, second, third round grade, high third, late second, mid second, somewhere in there. Some people have him a little higher than that. But he could go there. It just depends on what teams are looking for. He's just a little light. He flashes blocking skill, but he's a very good receiver. He's what NFL teams want. But like you said, it's a class that has some talent at that position. And so he's in that mix. He's going to be one of the guys that's going to get drafted on day two. And he's a solid player. Jack Campbell, he's a tough guy. We love him. Tough inside linebacker. He's actually our second rated linebacker. I know some people have Sanders ahead of him and maybe he will go ahead of him, but we really like Jack Campbell. He's underrated as a pass defender, but he's smart. He can cover in zone, and we think he has three down potential. He's more than a run stuffer, but he can stuff the run. He can play from alley to alley. He's got decent agility. He can get off of blocks, and he's a solid football player, one of the better linebackers in this draft.
A couple defensive backs from the Hawkeyes. Riley Moss, I think you have him in the top 20 among cornerbacks. And then Kayvon Merriweather, who's a heck of a college football player, but not really highly ranked by many.
Well, I'll take Merriweather first, and then we'll go, we like him. In fact, we looked at him a lot. We think he's could go anywhere between the fourth to the seventh round. It just depends on what people are looking for. It's not a great year for safeties. And somebody may take a look at him and say, you know what, we like him. He's a solid zone defender. He's at his best close to the line. You know, you could see him maybe as a hybrid, big nickel type guy. He's got decent speed, quality run support player. There's not match skill, you know, that's showing with him. So, he's going to have to play in a scheme that emphasizes a zone coverage, you know, and that would be, you know, the thing that works against him. They did work him down at the Senior Bowl as a man in man coverage situations to kind of get him some exposure there, and the results were mixed. That doesn't mean he can't develop into that player, but he, you know, right now, you know, we see him as a third day pick, but he's going to get drafted, and a team might see him as a fit, and he could be a solid player. Riley Moss, a high IQ player, he's another adept as a zone defender, which is what Iowa was known for. They multiple coverage package, and you had to have the intelligence to play in that secondary, and both of those guys have that. And he's got the speed to cover deep. He can run with verticals. He lacks ideal agility to consistently match elite receivers, but in the right scheme, he's going to be a starter. And again, it's going to take the right scheme. But he is a quality football player.
Well, it seems like everybody, you know, when you look at Riley Moss, amazingly jumps out at you. He just seems to get the job done and be in the right situation and in the right spot on the football field. And maybe he's got that sixth sense. I don't know. But I'm with you. I think he could help a team if they get him in the right spot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we think he can play. He can play in this league. You know, you're not going to make him your match corner. It's going to cover your number one receiver all over the field. But like you said, he's a smart player. He's instinctive. He can tackle. And he's going to play for somebody.
John, let's move over to Ames for a minute. And Will McDonald probably will be the highest drafted Cyclone, the edge rusher. I see a lot of folks late in the first round, maybe Kansas City. Comment about him. And then also Xavier Hutchinson, who, again, a heck of a college receiver, but maybe this is really a deep wide receiver group and he's going to fall down. What do you think?
Well, I'll take him first. Two players we like in terms of that. But Xavier Hutchinson has decent size with less than ideal speed. That's the best way. He's just productive. He's got a solid catch radius. He can go over the middle and get it. He's a good route runner. He's a quarterback's best friend. He's you would consider him more of a possession receiver, but he's extremely productive. And we like to say he's one of those guys that's too productive to ignore. He just makes plays. He can go over the middle. He has no fear. Chances are he's not going to get drafted real high. We like him in the third, fourth round. Some might think him lower. Some might think him higher. But the consensus around our lads is that he's the kind of guy that will probably play for 10 years in the league as a number two, number three receiver and be a productive player.
Yeah, and how about Will McDonald? You piqued my interest when you mentioned my Kansas City Chiefs looking at him. So,
my wife's a Kansas City Chiefs. Pat Mahomes. All right. Well, Will McDonald is a first round talent. He's interestingly enough, they played him a lot as a 5 technique, and they moved him all over inside. We feel as a wide nine, he's going to be devastating. That said, he's versatile. He's played off the ball linebacker early in his career. He's agile. He can chase. He's powerful. He turns his quickness into power. He's got a sudden burst on the edge. You know, he's got an easy turn around the corner. With more bulk, he might be a top 10 pick. He's a high motor player that we like a lot. You know, he's probably a rotational edge rusher that's going to be very productive in the right system.
Couple texts for you, John. They both have to do with NFC North teams. The first question is, being a Packer fan, what's the best fit at 15? And don't say wide receiver, because we never do that.
Well, I have a number of people that I talk to that are Packer fans, and there's a debate going on among the Packer fans that I talk to. As some are saying, hey, with Rashawn Gary's injury, we better go get an edge rusher. There's some good ones out there. And I look at that wide receiver core and that receiver room, whether it's tight end or wide receiver, and I see, ooh, do we need an upgrade there if you're a Packer fan? So I think the tight end position is, you know, really needs an upgrade, particularly losing Tanyan to Chicago. So I think Meyer is a good chance he's going to be sitting there. He's a good receiver. He's a good two-way tight end. He can block. You know, and I mentioned that to a former Packer player who said to me, I don't want him. I want Kincaid. I want Dalton Kincaid. So, and he's a media guy. So there's a lot of talk around Packerland about that position. But I also think that if a guy like Nolan Smith, who really fits the Packers system, is available, if he falls to them, he'll be a consideration, you know, for them. Because they need upgrades. You know, they need rotational players. They could use offensive linemen as well. I mean, they're just a lot of, you know, there's some needs there, you know, with that team. But I think they need to fix that receiver room, and so they're going to have to get a receiver there too. I don't know if there's one that's going to be there that's worthy of 15, but it could happen.
1960 on the text line, John, after free agency, what is the biggest need for the Detroit Lions?
I think they still need a corner. You know, we've got them, and we think the position that is very strong at corner, we think there's going to be a guy sitting there at their pick that they should, you know, look at either Witherspoon or Gonzalez. Either one of those two, Christian Gonzalez or Devin Witherspoon, would be a really good pick for the Lions. I like what the Lions have been doing. I think they got some great picks last year in the draft. We think the linebacker they took, Malcolm Rodriguez, was a steal of the draft. But they still need a little help in that secondary.
Detroit could be the favorite going into next year in the NFC North. Just saying. Could be.
John's right. No, they drafted right. Great last year.
Hutchinson. You go with Hutchinson and of course I keep mentioning Rodriguez, because to me you get a 6th-round pick that's that good. He was the best rookie linebacker in the league last year, and that includes all those guys who went way ahead of him. That's doing something. Hutchinson's obvious.
Yeah, very obvious. John Cooper from Arlat Scouting Service joining us here at 3:48 on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM. A couple UNI guys may or may not get their name called during the draft. Probably, certainly will, as far as free agency. Benny Sapp, the corner. And then also Eric Sorensen, who's a lineman. Not sure either one of those guys is going to hear their name, but they're going to be in a camp coming up soon.
Right. Yeah, Sapp is probably a safety, you know, in the NFL. You know, he slashes tackling skill. His dad played in the NFL, so there's a bloodline there. And he's got some cover skill. You know, it's just he's a little bit raw, and I'm not sure how ready he is for prime time. But like you said, he will be in somebody's camp, and with a safety position not being real strong, he'll have a chance. He'll have a chance to make a team. You know, and the center class isn't that great either. So, you know, Sorensen will get into a camp, and he'll get an opportunity, you know, as a result.
Last one from me, John, and it has to do with the quarterback position. Everybody's talking about it. Could be maybe four in the top six or seven picks. How do you at our lads sort out Stroud, Young, maybe even Richardson?
Well, you know, we're going to go with Stroud as the best quarterback in the draft. Mm. You know, the reason we like him is he's got height, he's got stature, he's mobile, he's got a strong arm. And people like to criticize Ohio State quarterbacks because they always have great receivers. But, you know, he did some creating for them. And, you know, we like him a lot. We've never wavered from that. I mean, right from the beginning, you know, that's the guy that we felt was the best quarterback in this draft. And what confirmed it for us was the way he played in the bowl game or playoff game. Even though they lost, he really had a great performance. And that's just confirming. You know, after that, Bryce Young's height bothers me. You know, you have to maneuver with a guy like that a little bit. He's got tremendous skill. He can run. He's mobile. He's a strong arm. He makes all the throws. The NFL is still a little bit different animal, and, you know, he's a winner. But you're still going to have to gear your scheme a little bit towards that, towards what he can do, towards his skill set. We think he's going to probably be the second guy taken. Anthony Richardson is an upside play. Boom or bust, same thing with Will Levis. Their guy, Richardson, you know, to his credit, he works very hard from what we can tell. You know, I watch the defensive backs a ton, and so I get the college tape, the end zone copy, and I'm watching Richardson from behind because a lot of DBs played against him. And I watch, you know, how he reads coverages, and he's trying hard to do the right things in a pro-style offense. So he's got some upside there. And I think somebody's going to look at his athletic ability, his arm strength, and all the things he does, and they're going to say, hey, I can make him into an accurate passer. There's going to be a quarterback coach that can say that. And he's going to get drafted relatively high as a result of that. A guy I don't sleep on is Hendon Hooker. ACL injury took him out, you know, this year, and he played in an offense that's not really NFL style. But yet, again, watching him, watching the ball come out of his hands in a hurry, and him able to, even in that offense, find an alternate receiver. In the film I've watched, you know, I really like him. I'm not so sure that if he wouldn't have had that ACL injury, we wouldn't be talking about the third quarterback taken in the draft. Mm-hmm. But where he's going to go is anybody's guess. It could be a late first-round pick. Could be second round. It's going to be a team that doesn't need him to play right away because you just don't know.
One more Lions question. The Lions fans are coming out of the woodwork here. If Carter is there, should the Lions take him and then draft a corner later, in your opinion?
That's a tough call.
Yeah.
You know, and let's get Coach on the hotline, see what he says. You know, if it's me, I like, you know, their defensive line isn't bad. Their corner is position is such a weakness, you know, I still think they've got a weakness there anyway, it would be a tough call. You know, I probably would, you know, lean towards the corner, you know, either Witherspoon or Gonzalez, which one I like, but if Carter's there, he's going to be a consideration. And in our way of thinking, he's going to be gone at five still. But, you know, it's going to be a consideration for sure if Seattle passes on him. Then, you know, we've got to take, as a Lion, if I'm a Lions GM, we got to take a look at it. And I'm sure they're doing due diligence to decide whether this is a guy. You know, Campbell's a tough coach. I mean, he can get things out of people. You know, they're going to have to, you know, toe the line. And he, you know, we like it, the way he's done things and the way he's built that Detroit team, you know, with their personnel. And, you know, he's the kind of guy that could take a guy like that and say, hey, you know, this is the way we do things here in Detroit, and you're going to be a player. And if he feels that they can do that with him, that's going to be a consideration. Because, you know, obviously the motor, you know, has become a question. I didn't see much of that on film. I thought he was a great player. They rotate a lot there. The stuff that comes up about the workout and the, you know, what happened with the car, you know, that's all recent developments. But, you know, the NFL security, when they're investigators, when they look into those things, they may uncover a whole bunch more. That's just, you know, the tip of the iceberg. And if that's the case, he's going to fall on everybody's board.
Very true. Very true. Continue the great work at our lads, John. Appreciate it. We'll try to get hooked up with you after the draft just to see how everybody did and how you thought everybody did. But keep up the great work, and always good talking with you guys.
Hey, it was great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. John Cooper from Our Lad Scouting Service. Check them out online and go to their website for Our Lads. Just they do a tremendous, tremendous job. We'll take a break, come back, and we will talk bowling with you. A wrap-up of Bowling Night in America when we come back.
Fasten into big savings with Menards. Amplify your craft with Spacs. Proudly American-owned Spacs fasteners drive like butter and hold like iron to secure your projects. From lag to multi-purpose to decking screws, Spacs has the fasteners you need for your next project. Get a 50-pack of quarter-inch by 3-inch exterior washer head lag screws for $17.79 after 11% off. Good through April 16th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. And it was a Wednesday, and that means it is a Bowling Night America wrap-up on this Thursday. It is brought to you by May City Bowl, Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. They are the home of Bowling Night in America. It was a good night. It could have been a better night if some unnamed person would have done better in the 10th of the third game.
You?
Me.
No, it's been a good three-week stretch for the Rusty Nails, winning 18-12 last night. The Nails have climbed into sixth place in the 14-team adult Evergreen League. And 2 weeks remain, I believe.
Correct.
Next week, and then position night on the final.
Well, actually, it's position night. Well, no, you're right. You're right. I beg your pardon. They did. They switched it around. You're right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay.
See, I just threw another horrible ball in the 10th.
Great night for Ryan Bundy. Once again, a perfect game, 300. I think it's his fourth or fifth in the league this year. And he bowls in other leagues as 300. And I don't know how many he's got this year, but another one for him. Congratulations, Ryan. Darren Bloomquist, the high series at 773.
Not bad. Just edged us out. But a fun night had by all once again. And give them a call if you're interested in a summer league as well over there.
Absolutely. 362-0136. Plenty of information at the website as well. MayCityBowlCR.com.
All right. Our thanks to John Cooper for joining us. Mark, have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Sounds great. Talk then.
You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better?